Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The enemies of Jesus had a real problem on their hands. Unlike the false messiahs and prophets that they had encountered before, Jesus performed incredible miracles that could not be explained away as simple tricks. He had cured the sick, healed the lame and paralyzed, and rescued the demon-possessed from the vice grip of Satan's control. Even Jesus' opponents, who did not believe that he was the Son of God and the Savior, could not deny the miracles that he had been doing. But those religious leaders of the Jewish people, those experts in the law that we hear about in our reading today, they asked by whose authority Jesus was doing these miraculous signs. They accused Jesus of being possessed by the devil himself and of casting out demons by the power of the devil. Perhaps with a smile on his face, Jesus replied to them, "How can Satan drive out Satan?" Just the whole idea of it is absurd. The goal of the devil is not to remove himself from the lives of people like you and me, but to remove God from our lives and from our hearts. Long ago, the devil himself had rebelled against God, and now the devil wants us to follow in his footsteps also. His goal is to drive a wedge between God and man, to separate us, to get us to ignore God, or better yet, to get us to openly rebel against God and against what God wants. That has been the devil's goal from the very beginning. As we heard about in our first lesson today from Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, the devil twisted and confused God's word. He appealed to Adam and Eve's pride. He asked them with seeming innocence, "Don't you want to be wise and experienced? Don't you want to be more like God, to have this special knowledge that God has? When you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened. You will be able to see a brave new world." Who doesn't want to be wise? Who doesn't want to be like God? And so Adam and Eve took that bait and they rebelled against God. Satan even tried that same kind of temptation on Jesus. Not even the Son of God himself was exempt from being attacked and tempted by the devil. Of course, Satan waited for just the right time when Jesus was tired and hungry and alone, having been in the wilderness by himself for 40 days after he was baptized. When the time came, Satan was ready. He took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all of his domain. Yes, Satan does have control over a large number of people. And he proposed a deal to Jesus. He said Jesus could have all of that handed to him on a silver platter if only Jesus would just bow down and worship the devil. Well, of course, we know that temptation of the devil to Jesus didn't work. Jesus knew that would end up making him a servant of the devil instead of a servant of God the Father. So instead, Jesus reaffirmed his allegiance and his loyalty to God the Father by saying to the devil, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Satan is a master of deceit. He works sometimes in ways that are difficult for us to recognize. He always works in disguise, hiding his hooks in the most inconspicuous places. He comes to us offering things that appear to be good and positive. Just like any good fisherman, he makes the baits enticing and he makes his hooks deadly. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And the Apostle Peter advised us, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan uses that old strategy of divide and conquer, and he uses it with astounding success, dividing people from God and dividing Christians from each other. And it's really not as hard as we might think. In fact, the devil often gets a lot of assistance from us. That's one reason why the drop in church attendance and in involvement in churches' ministry all over the world is so concerning. That means that there are a lot of sitting ducks out there who are susceptible to the attacks of the devil. Satan rarely attacks the whole flock all at once. And when he does, it's usually just to stir things up in the hope that some will run off in their own direction and so become easy prey for him and his temptations. Christians are all brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes we act too much like brothers and sisters in a human family, as quarrels and arguments often spring up among us. A lot of Christian families, congregations, and denominations seem to be more like a battleground than like a united body of Christ. And of course, no one enjoys that division more than the devil. He loves it when Christians won't talk to one another, or when someone storms away in anger from a meeting, or when there are arguments and quarrels, when people spread rumors about other people in the church. Nothing makes Satan more happy and gleeful than to see a fight in the church. Sometimes Christian families and congregations lack common vision and goals. Sometimes members are busy chasing after their own individual goals instead of working together towards the Lord's goals. Jesus said in our reading, "If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." That is Satan's work. That is his goal. His mission is to divide and conquer. But Jesus came to unite and to redeem us. He came to bring us together, to make us one again. He came to be the reconciler. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." To reconcile means to be made at peace and harmony with each other again. And the Apostle Paul also wrote in Colossians chapter 1, "Once you were alienated or separated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Even though we deserve to be cast off, even though our sins pierce through God's heart and soul, God still loves us. He reaches out to us and he embraces us through the good news of his love. Jesus left the comfort and glory of heaven and came down to this earth and was made one of us. He reached out to us and he restored us. In our gospel reading today, Jesus said, "No one can enter a strong man's house to steal his possessions unless he ties up the strong man first. Then he can plunder his house." That is what Jesus came to do. He came to bind Satan in order to rescue us from Satan's rule and to protect us from Satan's venomous bite. Jesus came to unite us with God and with one another. That's Jesus' purpose and his mission. And so Jesus says to us, stay close to God and to one another. The Apostle Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Jesus, our Savior, calls us to be united with God the Father, with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and with a mission that he has left for us to do. He calls us to be loyalists of the King of Kings and to be faithful workers in God's kingdom. Jesus calls us to active participation in the mission that he has given to his church of sharing the good news of forgiveness and salvation with the world. Yet Jesus is not insensitive to the temptations that we undergo every day. Jesus also felt the full onslaught of the devil's temptations and attacks. Jesus knows the lure of the easy way out. God has not promised us a garden of roses in this life. Satan is alive and real, although he is bound and his power is limited. But he has us on his most wanted list. Satan is constantly tempting us to cut our ties with God, or at least to ignore him and put him on the side in our lives. Sometimes he even tempts us and succeeds in leading people to forsake God and his church and the fellowship of believers. But Jesus came in his mission to reconcile us to God the Father and to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants us to unite together in the task of the church on earth that he has given to us. He promises to be our ever-present help in time of need and trouble. So let's follow where he leads, and let's rely on his protection and power by faith.